Blog Talk Radio.
If your company is considering a merger, maybe you're looking to buy another entity, or perhaps you've built up a company that may now be for sale or look attractive to a potential suitor, you've come to the right place, because here on Consulting in the C-Suite, we've been focusing our attention on mergers and acquisitions and talking about some of the things companies can and should do to prepare themselves and get themselves through a sale. Hi, everyone. This is Jim Mitchell, and Lori Husband is the heart and soul of these podcasts. She shares her information and years of experience in the C-suite as a consultant and working in private equity and other instances in mergers and acquisitions. And Lori is going to guide us through today some of the steps needed to create a good path for a successful exit from M&A. So, Lori, I know you have been busy, but this continues our conversation in kind of a new direction or further direction on what does life look like after the merger. So, first of all, thanks for being here.
Hi. Thank you for having me back. I'm excited. I love talking about this, so thank you.
It shows. It shows each time we get together. So you have put together some outlines that you share with your clients on how to make this all work. Let's look at post-merger today. The deal is closed. What's the really good first step after a merger? From what I read, does it look like maybe just putting an org chart together so everybody knows who each other is and what they do?
You know, I think that in my experience, I would say the best place to start is to create a plan and execute it. Where the organization really chooses to start will vary. But like you said, it's good to know who does what their names are. And I think, you know, what I've experienced is that to have a smooth transition, right, leaders have to address various aspects with the most basic fundamental organization structures that, you know, trickling down to policies and procedures. It is amazing how much an org chart, as simple as this document can be, will help tremendously in creating an environment of not only who everybody is, but also with your customers, so that when you do have situations, you know who to contact within the organization for assistance. So it's not just internally that you're thinking about. You're thinking about how you're going to help with the external clients that you have.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but they're obviously going to have a lot of questions. Is it necessary at this point after a merger to actually revisit or rewrite job descriptions so that everybody knows what they're supposed to be doing at the next phase?
I don't know that it would be one of the very first things you're going to do, but it's absolutely going to be part of that next step. Again, right, an org chart, job descriptions, titles, they clarify on the reporting structures, and they assist with the new organizational framework. And so, like I said, they're very basic documents, but they add so much value to the learning curve that people are going to have.
And you mentioned the external customers, the people you're selling to or working with, or vendors perhaps. What does the playbook say about how you communicate with them? Who does that, and is it casual conversation, or is there a formal approach to telling everyone who we are and what we do now?
That's a great question. That's a great marketing technique to implement. And I do work with the marketing team to set the new, because you might be branding, you might be rebranding. It's great to have marketing get involved in these steps because you think about even just your, you know, when we merged a year and a half ago now, we had two different titles of the company. So people are getting confused of, all right, who is doing what? What company are you with? Does this company still exist? And yeah, it is. It's a good communication tool to think about putting in place with your marketing team.
Now, there's different teams, different members of the team. You've educated us in the past on how it's important to create a team to go through a merger and to have various responsibilities. And at some point, if we get a chance today, I may come back to talking about some of those basic things like salary ranges and bonus plans, all the things that may change. But there's other things I want to dive into because you always stress one key thing that kind of escapes me, and that's IT.
Yes.
So I want to kind of jump in there so we don't miss that today. Why is that important? Explain to us what IT needs to be doing and why.
Well, I think it's funny that you say you didn't want to skip over it because sometimes we forget about it. And I got to tell you, IT and HR are the two departments that really do get overlooked. And if you think about the synergies between HR and IT, you want to think about you're now integrating different systems. You want to think about cybersecurity. Like we talked about a minute ago, we want to talk about maintaining your brand consistency. Usually this is with, email communications. It's paramount that IT and HR, you are working on your CRMs, your ERPs, your HRIS systems, your payroll system. By investing in IT, you are also investing in a safety from the cyber hacks that we get or confidentiality breaches that we're getting. Plain and simple, when you get an email, I got an email not long ago, and this is very common, where it says it might be from Josh at Valuable Resources, right? And it's not really Josh. Mm-hmm. It is somebody mm-hmm. trying to get information about payroll. And so I immediately look at it and go, oh, my gosh, let me call Josh and make sure. So these are the things that you want to create when you're looking at IT. You are looking at the saving identity theft. And you're creating, like I said, you're creating an environment of safety.
Important for employees and for the company as a whole because, again, there's so much risk right now. And so that leads me to the next piece of it because you mentioned HR being coupled with IT as the kind of the ones who get overlooked all too often. Do those two need to work together? Is there a synergy between what HR and IT are doing?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We definitely work hand in hand, especially when you think about if you're integrating two payroll systems, right? So now maybe you've got one that's on ADP and one's on Paylocity. You're going to have to use one at some point. Which one are you going to use? And if you don't have the IT person to help you along with that, also you want to think about your onboarding processes, right? You want to think about how your recruitment, your HRIS system, how robust is that? How are you sending documents, confidentiality through, emails? Like, we have to have some information on the, individual. Sometimes we have to require a SOSH. We have to have that technology system in place so that, again, we are protecting our employees from identity theft.
We're chatting with Lori Husband here on Consulting in the C-Suite, getting some information about creating that successful path to come out of a merger as a healthy company and talking about some of the basic things that need to happen. Lori's got great resources and great experience she can always share with you. You can reach Lori at 847-401-0014. We'll get you that number again before we let her go today. Talking about some of those key departments, they operate at a certain level, but the workers come in every day, and whether it's manufacturing or sales or retail, whatever it is, they all have things they do every day, day-to-day procedures. How did those get addressed so that we're all looking and sounding the same under the new brand?
that's going to be a little tricky, but it works. Patience, I would say patience, but, you know, I would highly recommend, and this is, you know, going based on experience, I would find out what processes are working and then figure out what's not. Determine the priority of what will benefit these changes, or better yet, what will happen if you don't make specific changes. I know it's not as easy to take one procedure at a time. However, doing it by priority allows you to focus, and this way it doesn't overwhelm everybody, who, because change is overwhelming regardless if it's good or bad, right? But this way, if you're working on one, you know, in the HR world, if you're working on an onboarding, maybe you work on an offboarding at the same time. You know, you don't really know what's working until you start really digging through, and you have a new company that's now doing a process that's a little bit different than yours. Maybe this is working good, maybe this isn't. Maybe you combine them. But I would find out what's working and what's not working, and then prioritize.
And you have, I mentioned earlier, you had talked in the past about going into the sale of a business with a team. And that's going to include, you know, M&A attorney and accounting folks and a consultant like yourself to kind of lead the sale process. What about post-merger? Is there a team that is going to manage these things, internal and external steps that have to happen? I mean, what does that team, if it exists, look like?
That's a really great question. That is the team that I'm on, and that is the team I love the most, is that post-integration or post-sale integration is where I really love the process of helping these people get coordinated with the change that just happened. But again, you're going to have a team that's going to include maybe each person from each department. Like, you're going to want marketing, you're going to want sales, you're going to want HR, you're going to want IT. So those are, then this team is helping you with these processes that either have worked in the past, and then how do we make them a little bit more robust to be transferred from two companies now into one.
In about a minute left here, I preface that because I know you can probably talk about this topic a bit, but there's going to be staff changes. Well, I mean, there's going to be voluntary people leaving, and some in cases, you know, there are people who are asked to leave for various reasons. As you come out looking to be a really strong company, how do you make sure the right people are still with you?
You know, this is where I would say, in my experience, you have to learn to establish a very robust recruitment process, one that allows the company to be proactive in their search. So things like maybe you partner with executive search firms, maybe you build your network and build relationships within other organizations who also have had people leave. Maybe you work with people that you've worked with before. Have a very good vetting technique and a quick turnaround. Don't hire out of desperation, and don't hire just to have a warm body.
And does recruiting include keeping the people you have?
It can, absolutely, because that's the retention piece.
That's right, where the talent is. All right, so Laura, you've mentioned some of the deals you've worked on, some of the experience you've had. Give us just a quick recap here of what the sweet spot is for you and who might be a great client for you, and then how they get a hold of you.
A great client would be somebody who is in the process of potentially selling. So I can come in, do the due diligence, work through the process of post-sale integration. That's a client for me. So typically that's either like a private equity or a portfolio company of a private equity. My number again is 847-401-0014.
Lori Husband, great to have you with us. And we've got some real interesting conversations scheduled with you. So I invite everyone to kind of track us and keep track of the podcast, Consulting in the C-Suite, Thanks to Lori, and thanks to all of you for listening as well.